And we're going to jump down to verse 50. And, you know, this morning also, it's going to be real exciting. This week, we're going to be getting our flyers for our Christmas. It's going to be for, it's the same day, two great events taking place on the one day. We have Roy De La Garza. It's a Christmas season service, amen? So it's a season of miracle service, and we're believing God for miracles with Roy De La Garza in the morning. And it's going to be a powerful time. So we want you to invite somebody, bring somebody to the house of God. And then in the evening, that evening at 5 p.m., we're having our Christmas on Main Street. It's going to be our toy giveaway. And we also have a Christmas play for all the families that come out. Amen. So we're going to be inviting families. We're going to have the flyers this week. So we want you, that's December 15th. Everything's happening on December 15th. So we want you to invite somebody, bring somebody out to the house of God. And it's going to be a great and powerful time, amen? And it's all with, you know, Jesus, like they say, is the reason, amen? And Jesus is going to show up that day, amen, both in the morning and at night, and it's going to be a life-changing day, amen? Praise the Lord. Well, this morning, I want to minister a message this morning on the subject of fighting, amen? Fighting the good fight. Last week, I talked about, you know, running the race. I talked about catching the wave that God has for you. And that scripture where the Apostle Paul says, I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. And this morning I want to focus on the fight part of it, fighting the good fight. And if you have Numbers 33, say amen. And we're going to jump down to verse 50. Somebody say, you better fight. Come on, say it again, you better fight. Verse 50, the Bible reads like this. And the Lord is giving instructions to Moses for the people of God. Somebody say instructions are important. Okay, so it says, now the Lord spoke to Moses in the plains of Moab by the Jordan, across from Jericho, saying, speak to the children of Israel and say to them, when you have crossed the Jordan into the land of Canaan, he's talking about when you cross over. He says, when you cross over into the land of Canaan, it says, then you shall drive out all the inhabitants of the land from before you. Somebody say, fight. It says, you shall drive out all the inhabitants of the land from before you, destroy all their engraved stones, destroy all their molded images, and demolish all their high places. Somebody say, fight. And then it says, you shall dispossess the inhabitants of the land and dwell in it. So he's telling them, when you cross over, I want you to do these things. And he's saying, and I want you to dispossess the inhabitants of the land and dwell in it. That word dispossess means to evict, to oust, to expel, to dispose of, to put a person or a thing out of possession of. So it's saying to dispossess the inhabitants. So those that are in that land, I want you to kick them out. Somebody say, fight of the land. And I want you to dwell in it. And then it says this, for I have given you the land to possess. Tell your neighbor he's talking to you this morning. So he's given them this morning in these verses instructions on how to possess that promised land. How to possess the promises of God. Tell your neighbor, you better fight. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, God, this morning, we thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you, Father, that your word is anointed. Speak to us, minister to us, challenge us. Come this morning and have your way in this place, God. Anoint the preaching of your word. Let every ear be open, every heart be receptive, God, to the voice behind the voice, God. Speak to your people, have your way, and receive all the glory for it. We ask this in the mighty name of Jesus, and everybody says amen and amen. Tell your neighbor, you better fight, and then you can go ahead and be seated. Well, you got to say it like you mean it. Y'all like to get in fights all the time. You don't want to say, you're saying fight like you're scared. Tell your neighbor, you better fight. Say it, come on, say it with some authority, man. Say, you better fight. Come on, say it again. Say, you better fight. Praise the Lord. Amen. There you go. You're getting it. Our text this morning, it takes place in the plains of Moab. Okay, I just want to lay a foundation here this morning. The Israelites had been wandering in the wilderness for 40 years. Come on, somebody. And they're now receiving instruction on how they're going to take the land. Come on, somebody. Let me know that God wants us to take the land. Right? God wants us to take the land. So he's giving them instructions on how they're going to do that. He brought them out of Egypt, and now he's bringing them into the promised land, and he's giving them instructions on how to take the land. Now, Pomona Victory Outreach, I want you to understand that that's very important, that attitude of taking the land. Because we're here in the city of Pomona. We've been here for 38 years, but we still have a mission and a mandate to take the land. Somebody say amen. See, there's a tendency for ministries to get complacent after they've been somewhere for a certain amount of years. Amen. You know, sometimes it kind of just starts to, like, you know, not here, thank God, because we have, but some ministries, it tends to die off a little bit. It tends to, you know, not begin to fulfill the mission that it was originally intended to after a while, amen? But that's why this morning, we're a church that is on fire. We're spirit-filled, full of the Holy Ghost. We have a mission, and we're going to fight to take possession of the land. Somebody say amen. Now, I want to talk this morning to people that aren't, you know, that don't allow, like I've said before, that don't allow their situations to dictate how they're going to serve God. I want to talk this morning to people in this place that don't allow their flesh to dictate how they're going to serve God. Come on, somebody. I'm talking about, like, when you come into the church house and maybe you might not even be your best day. You might not even feel that good, but you don't allow that to dictate how you're going to hear the word of God. You came for marching orders. You're going to receive marching orders. You're ready to hear a word from God. Come on, somebody. You're ready to hear that word, apply that word, and to put that word into action. Somebody say amen. Now, I'm talking about a subject this morning on fighting the good fight. So I want you to be awake this morning at the very least, because you can't fight if you're asleep. Come on, somebody. You can't fight if you're halfway out. I know it might have been a long night. It was a long night for me too. Praise the Lord, but God will give you strength for another 30 minutes. Amen. And so when you're talking about, you know, you're talking about Pomona Victory Outreach, you're talking about take the land. I want you to understand, because there's a certain mindset that we have to have. In other words, as a church, even though we've been here for many years, you and I, we have to have a pioneer spirit within this church. Come on, somebody. How many know what I'm talking about in this place? What are you talking about, Pastor? Well, no, we're not a pioneering church. We're not a church that's barely beginning. Yes, we have been here for 38 years. Yes, we have been established. But you have to have a pioneer spirit if you have a mission like taking the land. Somebody say amen. That means when you come in, you got to have an attitude like as if this was, nobody knows who Pomona Victory Outreach is in this city. You got to come in here and you got to be like, nobody knows us, man. Nobody knows what we do. And we only just barely got here. And what would we do if we had just barely got here and God had given us a mission to take this city? What would we do? What would be our strategy? What would be our plan? What would be our attitude? What would be our method? How would we do? We definitely wouldn't be just come in like business as usual. You know, kumbaya, praise the Lord. You high-five me, and I high-five you. Come on, somebody. If we were pioneering, you would be, or you would have a spirit that you know that you got to go out there and tell every single person that you see that Jesus loves them, and there's a church called Victory Outreach Pomona that is here for them and for their family. Amen? You would pray, you would be praying, you would be thinking of strategy, you would be thinking of ministries, how you could make your ministry more effective. Do new and innovating things. You're pioneering, a pioneering spirit, a hunger, a thirst, knowing that you got to be out there getting busy because we want to take the land, and we've gotten to this place where God has given us the land. Come on, somebody give the Lord a hand clap if you know what I'm talking about this morning. Somebody say a pioneer spirit. So you got to have that. You got to have an attitude. Hear me, Pomona Victory Outreach. I'm very, very, I'm very, very serious about this. You got to have a pioneer spirit. You can't be in here like we've been here for 38 years. Oh, I'm just going to come and do the routine. No. We have a mission to accomplish. We have a land to take. And we have battles to fight. And that's what I'm talking about this morning. So he begins to tell them, and he gives them instruction on how they're going to take the land. Somebody say, we got to take the land. And then he's on how they're going to conquer Canaan. And so this morning I want to talk to you about how you got to fight for your promises. You got to fight for your promises. Because we know we got to wait for our promises. And we sometimes we don't mind, we'll wait for our promises. And you got to pray for your promises. And sometimes we don't mind praying for our promises. But I want you to know that you also got to fight for your promises. And see, sometimes we don't want to fight for our promises, though. But I came to let you know this morning that in the land that God has called us to possess, just like you find it in the Word of God, He gave them instructions. And their instructions were that they were going to go in there and not only pray for it and not only wait for it, even though He had given it to them, but they were going to have to go in there and they were going to have to fight for it. They were going to have to dispossess the land. They were going to have to go in there and burn their altars, demolish their high places. They were going to have to get busy for God. They were going to have to evict the enemies that were in that place and run them out of that place. Come on, somebody. Tell your neighbor, God wants you to fight. Come on, tell the other person next to you, God wants you to fight. That's what I'm talking about today. I'm talking about how you got to fight for your promises, Victory Outreach, Pomona Church. You got to fight for your promises. You got to fight for your promises. Yeah, you got to pray. Yeah, you got to wait. But you got to fight for your promises, man. You got to engage. You got to get busy. You got to do what God has called you to do. What's heavy is when you look at it 600 years before that. 600 years, somebody say it's a long time to wait. Genesis 12:7, the Bible says, "Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, 'To your descendants I will give this land.' And there he built an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him." Come on, somebody. He gave him this promise a long time before that. But when God gives you a promise, what did he do? He built an altar. There's an important reason why you build an altar. So when God gives you a promise, you build an altar. The reason you build an altar is so that you don't forget about the promise that God gave you. Come on, somebody, give the Lord a hand clap if you know what I'm talking about this morning. Does anybody still get promises from God that they write down and pray about? Come on. So you build an altar so that you can go to that place and pray in that place and remind God that you remember and that you haven't forgotten about the promise and the contract and the covenant that he made with you. And so now here, these verses, it's being fulfilled. Although they hadn't gone over yet, they're receiving instruction on what to do. And I want you to know this morning, Pomona Victory Outreach, we as a church and as individuals have been given promises. Somebody say amen. We have a land waiting for us. We have a land waiting for us. We have territory waiting for us. There's promises for your family that you're waiting for. There's promises for this church that we're waiting for. Somebody say amen. And we have yet to inherit them. We're standing in some promises. We're living some promises. Some promises have been fulfilled. Some of your loved ones have been saved. But there are yet some promises that we have still to inherit. It's already ours, in other words. But for us to receive it, we need to follow some instructions. See, that's what sometimes as Christians we're not that great at, right? If following instructions. Somebody say amen. Well, come on, somebody. You know, that's why the Bible says, and a lot of times when he talked to Solomon, and he talked to David, and he talked to these ones, he said, "I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do this for you, and I'm going to show up for you." He says, "But be careful to obey all that I have commanded you." You're like, you didn't want to know that. You're like, I didn't read that. I didn't know I had to obey instruction. He says, "Be careful to obey. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I'm going to give you, I'm going to give you vineyards you didn't plant, man. I'm going to give you wells you didn't dig. I'm going to take you into land flowing with milk and honey. I'm going to bless you and do things for you that you didn't do for yourself, but be careful to obey. Be careful to obey. Follow the instruction of God." Like Israel, we've had our share of wandering in the wilderness. Can some Christians say amen? And we've had our times of battle. Can some Christians say amen? We've had some times of discouragement and opposition. Is anybody here this morning that can say amen? But one thing that we continue to do, beloved, my brother and my sister, one thing that we continue to do is march toward Canaan, toward our promises, toward the inheritance that God has given us. And as we do that, we begin to conquer Canaan. But tell your neighbor, you better fight. You better fight. You better fight.
You better fight. You better fight. If you want to receive it, if you want to inherit it, you better fight for it. Why? For our families, for others, for people, for God's people. Somebody say amen. Listen, people give up every day on life. People give up every day on life. Somebody say amen if you know what I'm talking about. You know, these are some stats that are a little older, but still, it gets the point across. For every two murders in the U.S., there are three suicides. Have you been noticing how many suicides there have been lately? Have you been hearing, seeing in the news how many suicides, how many people that would rather just end their life than to keep on living? People every day are giving up on life. And we have to fight for the promises of God. Every hour and 45 minutes, another young person commits suicide. They give up every day. They give up on school. 31% of students drop out of high school. They give up every day on purity. 820,000 teen girls get pregnant each year. 34% of young women get pregnant at least once before they turn 20. They give up every day also on families. 50% of first marriages ended in divorce. This was a stat from some years ago, but still. And people give up every day on God. I said people give up every day on God, Pomona Victory Outreach. 71% of the teenagers who go to church will stop going by the age of 20. We gotta fight. I said we gotta fight. Number one, that's my first point, fight. It's an exhortation. In 1 Timothy 6:12, it says, fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also has been called. These are words of exhortation. Fight the good fight of faith. Come on, say it with me. Say, fight the good fight of faith. Oh, how we need to hear these words today, my brother, my sister. Pomona Victory Outreach, how we need to hear these words this morning. Fight the good fight of faith. Listen, the life we live as Christians is not for cowards. I said the life we live as Christians is not for cowards. It is a fight. And sometimes it's an agonizing one. My brother Jimmy right now is in the hospital and he's fighting. He's fighting. He felt for a moment he wanted to give up and not fight, but he like so many times before, like I don't know if I could ever do. He got a hold of God and let God get a hold of his heart. And he turned his mind and he said, I'm going to fight and I'm going to keep going forward. And God is in control of my life. And no matter what God does, I'm not going to stop until God takes me home. He's fighting right now. That Greek verb for fight is agonizomai, translated fight at the beginning of, in 1 Timothy 6, at the beginning of verse 12. And the Greek noun agon, translated fight, three words later, are the words we get agonize and agony from. So we could translate the phrase agonize the good agony of faith. And over here, I've been nothing. Come on now. Fight the good fight of faith. You could actually translate it agonize the good agony of faith. You know why it's agonizing? It's agonizing because the fight is as much internal as it is external. Somebody say amen. I'm going to know you've got a fight going on the inside of you. Sometimes people don't know it. Sometimes other people might not know. Maybe your closest people know. Maybe your husband and wife might not even know, though. And there is a fight that goes on inside of you, man of God, woman of God, as well as the fight that goes on the outside. John Kitchens writes these words. He said, the words used here describe not just the outward engagement of such a fight, but also the inward turmoil inherent in such conflict. There's an inward. When you're fighting battles on the outside, you're also fighting battles on the inside. When you're going through opposition and things are coming against you on the outside, on the inside, the flesh, that part of you that needs to die, is fighting against the will of God. But you got to
to stand. You got to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, and know that if you fight, God is going to see you through.
It's an inward one. The Bible says, fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, to which you were also called. Apostle Paul said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Tell your neighbor, fight the fight. I'm talking about fighting this morning. I just want to talk about one thing to you this morning. I want to talk about fighting. Fight the good fight of faith. He said, I have fought a good fight. This road that you and I are on, Pomona Victory Outreach, is going to lead to many battles. The battles that many, perhaps sitting in this place, are facing today. Somebody, I wonder if there's anybody here facing some battles this morning. Or am I the only one? This journey that we're on, it's going to lead you into some battles. Man of God, woman of God, mighty man of valor, this journey that you're on is going to lead you into many battles. Are you ready to fight and be the man of God that God has called you to be? You got to stand up and you got to fight. This is the road that's going to lead to battles. The Israelites didn't have the land just handed over to them. Well, I wish somebody could give me an amen this morning. Somebody give the pastor an amen. The Israelites didn't have the land just handed over to them, and we aren't going to have the land just handed over to us. You're going to have to fight. Israelites had to fight many battles. We're going to fight many battles. The Israelites fought with a sword and a shield. We're going to fight with our shields of faith and the sword of the Spirit. The Israelites fought against flesh, but the battles we fight, we cannot fight in the flesh. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against rulers and principalities and powers of darkness and spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. The spiritual world is more real than this carnal world. I want you to understand that there is a real battle that is taking place in the unseen. And it is against Satan, the enemy of your soul. Satan, the enemy of our Lord Jesus. The Israelites won because they obeyed the Lord of hosts. We will win because we will obey the captain of our salvation. Somebody give the Lord a hand clap this morning. What made the Israelites so powerful was the power of the Lord their God. What makes us so powerful is the Lord our God. Come on, somebody. Give the Lord a hand clap if you believe that. Our God, he doesn't change. Somebody say amen. He's never changing, man. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he was, listen, there in the Israelites with his people in the book of Numbers, he was looking to give his people their promise. That's what he was doing. They were going through all that. He was giving them instructions on how they were going to have to fight. But the reason why he was doing that was because he was looking to give his people their promise. I want you to know this morning, Pomona Victory Outreach, that God is looking to give us our promise. You got to get into a fight. You got to get into a battle. You got to endure hardship like a good soldier. You got to rise up and take your place. But it's all because God wants to give you your promise that he gave you a long time ago. Come on. Somebody give the Lord a hand clap this morning if you still want the promises of God. I wonder if there's anybody here this morning that still wants to inherit the promise that God gave you a long time ago. Tell your neighbor you're going to have to fight. The Israelites came out of Egypt into Canaan. And they had to become warriors. Anybody read the Bible? Have you seen? What's it called? What's that one called? Ten Commandments. Have you ever seen the Ten Commandments? Maybe you haven't read the Bible. I know you've seen the Ten Commandments. But the Israelites, they came out. They were slaves in Egypt. Like to wake up in the morning, hate who I was and not be able to change it. I don't forget. I don't forget that I was a slave. I don't forget that I wanted to change, but I couldn't change. But I also don't forget that there was only one man that was able to break the chains from off of my life, and his name was Jesus, and he showed up, and he broke the chains, and he set me free.
So they came out of Egypt, they went into Canaan, and they went from slaves, and they had to become warriors. And so we, Pomona Victory Outreach, who God brought us out of Egypt, tell your neighbor he's talking to you, because maybe he'll listen to you, because he's not listening to me. Come on, somebody. You, Pomona Victory Outreach, who God brought out of Egypt, we must also become warriors.
Understand that we're at war. We've got to become warriors. The greatest warriors, they become warriors after many battles. After many battles. After you got a lot of blood on your sword, a lot of dents on your shield, a lot of scars even underneath your armor. You got some scars. Anybody here got some spiritual scars? Come on, somebody, in your soul, in your spirit, in your mind, in your emotions, and anybody got some scars? God makes warriors. He raises up warriors. He raises up men warriors. He raises up women warriors after they have fought many battles for God. You got to fight many battles, my friend. But after many battles, if you don't grow weary, if you don't give up, if you don't quit, if you don't start complaining, if you don't start looking how the grass is greener on the other side, I can't get no amens this morning, but that's okay, because I came to let you know that if you keep on fighting the good fight of faith, you too, after many battles, are going to become a warrior that God can anoint and God can use and God can raise up and God can do mighty things through in the name of Jesus. Come on, somebody, give the Lord a good hand clap in this place. Are there any warriors? Are there any warriors in the making this morning? Are there any mighty men of God? Are there any mighty women of God that know how to fight for their children, fight for their husbands, fight for their marriages, fight for their friends, fight for humanity, fight for those lost souls, fight for those drug addicts, fight for those hurting people? Does anybody still want to fight?
Next, we have to realize that our fight is not in vain. We're fighting for something real. It's not pointless. Our fight is not pointless. Without Jesus, your fight was pointless. But in Jesus, your fight is not in vain. It says, therefore, turn to thy God, keep mercy and judgment, and wait on thy God continually. We're fighting for something real. I said we're fighting for something real. And instead of conforming to this world, we must fight with our convictions. Come on, somebody. I said, does anybody still have convictions this morning? Does anybody still have godly convictions this morning? No? Bless you guys. I'll repent for you later today in my house. I'll make my own altar. Anybody still have convictions? Does anybody still have convictions? Does anybody still have convictions? We fight with our convictions against this evil world, against the devil. Somebody say amen. We fight with the Word of God. We fight with the Word of God. We fight with what thus saith the Lord. When the enemy says this and the enemy says that and your flesh says this and your fleshly friend says that, we fight with what the Word of God says. We fight with what our Father says. We fight with what Jesus says. And we fight with our faith in God. Our faith in God, our shield of faith,
a shield of faith. I believe in God. I know my God. He's a good God. He's a faithful God. He'll never leave me. He'll never forsake me. Even if Job's wife tried to tell me to curse God and die, I still know my God is good. Even though things might look bad sometimes, I still know my God is faithful and he's worthy to be praised. You better ask somebody.
We have to recognize we can't accept the lie that we can live at peace with this world. Man, the devil's a liar. Pastor John, the devil's a liar. We can't live at peace with this world. We can't. We can't be at peace with this world. This world is at war, man, against our God. This world is at war against our Jesus. At war, we're at enmity with God until we have Christ. We have to recognize the intent of sin and evil is destruction. It's not a good time. Sin doesn't want to give you a good time. Sin wants destruction. It's like that old Guns N' Roses record, man. Appetite for destruction. Okay. Well, it popped in my head. I think Guns N' Roses concert before. You might not have thought that. Old Guns N' Roses there. I got a little crazy in my day. No, man. Sin has an appetite for destruction. Sin don't want to give you a good time. Sin don't want to make you think he wants to make you happy. You think he wants to make you feel good. You think he wants to make you forget about your problems. But guess what? On the backside, it's trying to destroy you. It's trying to rip you off. It's trying to burn your family. And it's trying to rob you of the beautiful promises that God has for your life. Somebody give the Lord a hand clap if you know that you're in a fight this morning.
Listen, what are you saying, Pastor Rob? I'm saying, in other words, we can't sign a peace treaty with hell and think everything will be fine. Can't sign a peace treaty with hell. Peace treaties. Well, if I don't mess with that, I don't mess with that.
There's a factor in this equation that is greater than any odds that we may face. Let me tell you that factor this morning. The Bible says this, the battle is not yours, but the battle is the Lord's. I said the battle is not yours, but the battle is the Lord's. We fight, but God magnifies our efforts.
Still able to shake things up for the glory of God with some humble inadequacy, because God is not determined by my weakness, but his victory is determined by his strength, by his blood, by his power, by his anointing, by who he is and not by who I am. Come on, somebody give the Lord a hand clap this morning.
You gotta fight. Don't surrender to your circumstances, but stand up. Act like men and women of God. I said act like men and women of God. Like Jehu, like Barak, like Deborah, like some mighty warriors, like David the mighty man, like some mighty women of God. That when they had to stand there against the enemy, they didn't flinch, but they stood in the name of the Lord their God, and they went against the enemy, and God gave them a great victory. Are there any men and women of God this morning that still want to fight and still believe that God is going to show up and give you the strength that you need to get the victory?
We win when we fight. If we fail to fight, we follow a future that's not what God intended. It's not what you hoped for. When you don't fight. sin abounds, the grace of God is going to abound that much more. I said, where sin abounds, the grace of God is going to abound that much more. We got to fight for our families. We got to fight for our church. We got to fight for our futures. We got to fight for our promises. We got to fight for our vision. We got to fight for our dreams. We got to stand up. We got to step out, and we got to fight on. People of God, somebody give the Lord a hand of praise this morning. Thirdly is this, take what God has placed in your hand and go forward. Have you ever felt like your back was against the wall? Come on, somebody. One minute you're basking in God's presence, experiencing victory and peace, provision and breakthroughs. And then the next, you're bombarded by anything and everything that could go wrong. The children of Israel, they found themselves in that same situation. But how many know things aren't always what they seem? Tell your neighbor, tell them, things aren't always what they seem. Tell the other person, things aren't always what they seem. See, when you're in that situation, you got to understand this, that a lot of times, God is setting you up for something big. See, that takes some faith. I don't know if you got it this morning, but if you got it, somebody clap. Come on, somebody. Because a lot of times God is setting you up for something big. If you're going through a tough time, praise Him, because God is setting you up for something big inside of your life. Told him to step out, that rod that Moses had. When he encountered God at the burning bush, there was nothing spectacular about the rod, right? It was just a stick. But until God asked Moses a question, and he said, what is that in your hand? And that thing which God has placed in your hand this morning, I want you to know that it may just be an ordinary thing to you and to other people when you first look at it, but I want you to know that when God asks you what it is, it's because He plans to use it. And when God asks you what it is, that thing all of a sudden turns into a mighty weapon that God can use to set your children free. Come on, somebody, to set your husband free. Come on, somebody, to get the breakthrough that you've been trying to... I can't hear you this morning. To get the breakthrough that you've been trying to get the promise that you've been praying for, that you've been fighting hard to hold on to and not wanting to let go, that simple thing that God has placed in your hand is all that you need for you to step out and see God move in a miraculous way and give you favor and give you miracles and give you breakthroughs. Come on, somebody, give the Lord a hand clap this morning. You ever feel like you're caught between a rock and a hard place? If you are, don't panic. Take what God has given you and go forward. Fourthly, you got to learn how to be a bounce back. Socked, you got to learn how to bounce back. You ain't hear me this one. Apostle Paul said like this. He said, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. Listen to what he said, man. He is the epitome of a bounce back Christian. Listen to the Apostle Paul. I got to read these verses because they're powerful, man. He said, I fought the good fight. I finished the race. I kept the faith. He said, finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. He says, listen what he says. Be diligent to come to me quickly, for Demas has forsaken me already. Somebody already dissed him, already forsaken him, right? Having loved this present world, and he departed for Thessalonica. It says, Crescens left for Galatia. Titus left to Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. He said, get Mark and bring him with you, for he's useful to me for ministry. He says, and Tychicus I have sent to Ephesus. So I sent him on a mission. He's good, but I had to send him away. He says, bring the cloak that I left at Carpus, and he said, and the books, especially the parchment. He said, look it, Alexander the coppersmith did me much harm. May the Lord repay him. God, sounds like a pastor. Come on, somebody.
Alexander the coppersmith did me much harm. May the Lord repay him according to his works. Oh, that's what he prays. I pray for mercy. Anyway, may the Lord repay him according to his works. He says, you also must beware of him, for he has greatly resisted our words. At my first offense, no one stood with me, but all forsook me. May it not be charged against them. But the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, so that the message might be preached fully through me, and that all the Gentiles might hear. Also, I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion, and the Lord will deliver me from every evil work and preserve me for his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever and ever. Amen. You got to learn how to be a bounce back Christian. How many of you ever this morning ever felt the pressures of life? Right? It goes without saying. Sometimes we get to a point in our lives where we feel like we can't take it anymore. Anybody here this morning? For one reason or another, we feel like that. You ask yourself, why am I going through this? Is anybody here this morning? Am I the only one who is having this problem? Hello, somebody. How can I bounce back? Today I'm here to tell you, you got to learn to bounce back. You got to learn to be a Christian that takes a licking and keeps on ticking. You didn't hear me. That's some old school stuff, but you got to just receive it this morning. Come on, somebody. You got to learn to take a licking. It's not how hard you can hit, but it's how hard you can get hit and keep on going forward. That's why I thank God for Brother Jimmy, because Jimmy he's taking a big hit, but he knows how to take a big hit and keep on going forward. You ain't hearing me this morning. The Apostle Paul talks about it in 2 Corinthians. He says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power of God may be of God, and not of us. Listen, we are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. We are persecuted, but not forsaken. We're struck down, but we're not destroyed. He said, you got to be like me. You got to be like Jesus. You got to learn how to be a bounce back Christian. And you got to learn to fight the good fight of faith. Come on, somebody give the Lord a hand clap this morning if you want to fight for what God has for your life. Tell your neighbor you got to fight. Come on, tell somebody else you got to fight. How can I become a bounce back Christian? Listen, let me give you some. Let me give you, this is good right here. How can I become a bounce back Christian? Come to a realization that it's not about you. Ooh, that'll help you go a long way right there. Come on, somebody. Let me know, sometimes it's all about me. I get like that sometimes. Realization that it's not about you. It's a Christ thing. It's a Christ thing. It's a Jesus thing. Don't take it personal. They're not doing it to you. They did it to the Lord. That's why they do it to you. They're not fighting you. They're fighting God. They're fighting God. They're fighting that battle within themselves. They're fighting God. They're fighting what God is trying to do in their life. They're fighting the breakthrough that God's trying to bring in their life. It's hard for them. They don't know how to handle it. It hurts them. They might take it out on you, but it's not personal. They're fighting against God. I want you to know this morning, if you want to be a bounce back Christian, understand it's not about you. It's about God. Listen, to be a Christian, you need Jesus in your life. But to be a bounce back Christian, you need to let Jesus be in control of your life. Ooh. Come on, somebody. Ain't nobody, no
help this morning. Come on, somebody. To be a bounce back Christian, you need to let Jesus be in control of your life. You have to submit to Him fully. You still want to be a bounce back? No, I want to be a bounce back Christian. No, no. Awesome. Allow Him to flow through you. You know when you submit, you surrender to God? Do you know that He can flow through you? You know why? Because He resists the proud. So when you're prideful and you don't humble yourself, you're fighting against God. But when you humble yourself, He gives grace to the humble.
I need the grace of God. I need me some grace. I need me some anointing. I need me some favor. I need me some power. So I humble myself under the mighty hand of God, because God is going to come through in due season for my life. Come on, somebody give the Lord a hand clap in this place if you know it's not over until God says it's over.
Remember, you're going to have problems. There's no escaping it. But I'd rather have Jesus with me to help me through them than not have Him. With Him, I can be crushed. With Him, I can be at a loss. I could be broken. I could be knocked down and know that it's not over. I said, and know that it's not over. He's going to get me. He's got my back in this fight. He's going to show up and be the champion that I need Him to be. And I know that He's going to come through like a champion every single time. Come on, somebody give the Lord a hand clap if you know He's faithful to you every time that you need Him. Lastly is go forward and don't look back. Going forward and not looking back. Not getting stuck in the past. Tell your neighbor, don't get stuck. Listen, our greatest battles come right before our greatest breakthroughs. Somebody say amen. Our greatest battles come right before our greatest breakthroughs. At times we may feel like things are breaking down. But I came to let you know this morning that things are getting ready to break through. Somebody give me an amen this morning. The Bible says weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. It's the job of the enemy to get you to surrender during the weeping of the night so that you can experience the joy of the morning. And you know what? He does it a lot of times. He gets people to surrender, give up, and quit in the weeping of the night. Because they give up in the weeping of the night, they don't get to experience the joy of the morning. But if you don't quit and you don't give up, and I don't care how hard it's been, I'm not being insensitive, but I know you've been through some hard things, but all I know is that there's somebody out there that might have been through something tougher, and I know that God has been faithful to them. And I came to let you know this morning that Jesus said, you will suffer much, but be of good cheer, because He has overcome the world. Come on, somebody give the Lord a hand this morning if you thank God for the victory that He has given us. That's why we got to have a pioneer spirit, Pomona Victory Outreach. You got to have a pioneer spirit, man. You got to fight. You got to be willing to go out there. You got to be willing to stand up and do what God has called you to do. The closing is this, and I want you to stand with me this morning. I want the worship team to come. I just wanted to talk to you this morning about fighting. I really did. God put this in my heart to talk to you about fighting. And then He showed me that that's what He instructed His people to do in order for them to inherit the promises. In order for them to inherit the promised land that He had given them, He gave them instructions, and He told them, you're going to have to fight. We know how to pray. Sometimes we don't like how to wait, but then we know how to wait. But He also says, you're going to have to fight. You're going to have to go over there, and there's going to be some enemies over there. And I need you to kick them out. I need you to demolish their high places. I need you to destroy their altars of worship and everything that glorifies the devil. I need you to destroy it. I need you to be warriors. I know you were slaves.
I know you had a slave mentality for a long time. He says, but now you've already been in the wilderness 40 years. He said, now it's time to become warriors. Men and women of God, Pomona Victory Outreach, I got a word for you this morning. It's time for us to become warriors. It's time for us to become warriors. You know what warriors don't do? Warriors don't settle. They don't settle. Civilians settle. Warriors and soldiers fight. They fight. Because they know it's not about them. Just like a soldier in the army. He's over there fighting. I mean, let's say he likes it, right? He's still over there. He's not fighting for him. He's fighting for others. Warriors fight. They fight for others. That's who we are. That's who God called us to be. People that fight for others. We're not consumed in our own. Civilians get consumed in their own world, in their own house. But not warriors, not soldiers. They get consumed in the better good. They want to make a difference in other people's lives. They're not satisfied with just their world being okay. They want to go into somebody else's world that's messed up and turn it around and help it to be okay. You ain't hearing me this morning. They're not satisfied with just peace in their house. They want to go to somebody who doesn't have peace in their home, and they want to bring the peace of Jesus into that home. Come on, somebody. Are there any warriors this morning? Are there any warriors in Pomona Victory Outreach? What I'm about to say is a reality, and it stands true, that this life is going to leave you with some scars. This life is going to leave you with some scars. Life is going to take you places that are going to leave you with some bumps and bruises. But it's all worth it. I said it's all worth it. Oh, I ain't going to go through this for that. I ain't going to go through this for them. I ain't going to... No. The devil is a liar, man. You got it all wrong. It's worth it. It's worth it. It's worth it. It's worth it. It's worth it to be a warrior, to fight for somebody else, to put yourself aside and put others first and put Jesus first. It's worth it. It's worth it. If you got to get some scars, if you got to get some bruises, it's worth it in the end. When you're going through it, you're going to want to quit. You're going to want to give up. But just think of all that is at stake. The peace of mind that is at stake. The covering of your family that is at stake. You don't know how much I value that. The bright future that God has for you is at stake. When you want to quit. When the devil's trying to get you to throw in the towel. The salvation of many, many souls is at stake. When one Christian is getting ready to give up and quit and stop fighting the fight, the salvation of many souls is at stake. That's why we can't quit. And that's why we can't give up. Because there's many, many souls that are at stake. Pomona Victory Outreach. There's many salvations that are at stake, including your own. The Bible says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. To give up is to be eternally without God. Beloved, don't quit. Apostle Paul said, therefore we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we're being renewed day by day. For a light and momentary affliction is achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs
them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. The enemy has a plan, and that plan is to kill you. That plan is to strip you of your joy and strip you of your purpose and strip you of the promises of God. The enemy wants to take the very fight out of you. But don't quit. Remember, you're going to need to fight back. You're going to need to fight the good fight of faith. Close your eyes right there where you're at. Bow your heads. I'm going to make an altar call for you this morning. And I'm going to pray for you. But let me ask you a couple questions before I open this altar. Anything, first of all, let me say this. Anything worth having is worth fighting for. Let me ask you a question. Is your family worth it? Is your spouse worth it? Are your kids worth it? Are your loved ones worth it? Think about this. Look at them. Picture looking at them and tell them that you gave up and see how they respond. Think about it. Tell them you quit. Tell them you gave up. See how they respond. See, my brother, my sister, whether you're saved or not this morning, you're going to leave this life with scars. But why not leave this life with scars for the things of God? I said for the things of God. For the things of God. For the things of God. I don't know this morning how the Lord might have ministered to you, spoken to you.